You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, it's Jody, the mom of the Mom and Doc Talk podcast. We're taking a short pause this summer to enjoy our families and hope you're doing the same. We're also doing some prep work for season two of the Mom and Doc Talk podcast. We've got some really exciting episodes coming your way starting August 27th. In the meantime, we wanted to give you guys the opportunity to catch up on any episodes that you might have missed or take a break. We know you need a break. You deserve a break. Here's a rebroadcast of one of our most popular episodes. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to Mom and Doc Talk. We have another amazing guest for you today. We're just going to go ahead and dive right in. It's another mom, and this one is a mom here on her own to share her experience, which is really wonderful. Like, we love having the kids with us, and we also kind of love having moms be able to talk about stuff like just as a mom and not having to worry about what's going on with their kids and their kids' own experience. So we're so grateful to have Andrea Jones with us today. She is a registered nurse, a functional hormone practitioner, and mother to two amazing girls, one with pandas. She is passionate about total person wellness, and having a child with a chronic and complex illness has only fueled that fire more and increased her passion for educating and empowering families to find the healing that they need. Andrea, you are an active member in our Facebook group, and you have been for years now. You've shared your story in that group many times, and we're so grateful that you're willing to come and join us in this other capacity to share about your experience. So welcome, and thank you for being here.
Oh, well, thank you for having me always. We wouldn't be here without you. So I'm just, I'm always happy to share, you know, the ups and downs and everything in between, because Lord knows I have needed, I've needed that voice for myself so many times. So thank you for having me.
Well, let's just go ahead and dive right in. Tell us your story. How did PANS first show up in your life?
Yeah. So PANS showed up really with a strep infection when Alexis was, she was in second grade. And I mean, even when I try to like write it out in a cohesive way, it still feels like such a whirlwind that like took us all in a direction you just don't even think it's possible. Like you don't think it's possible for your world to flip upside down as quickly as it does, right? And so we all got strep and treated it, and we all recovered within 2 days, like pretty short duration, herself included. So, you know, no fever, no sore throat after 2 days, but I noticed that her pupils were really dilated, which every PANS and pandas mom, like the pandas look like, we just kind of know. And I didn't know that's what that was at the time, but I was like, this, something's not right. Like, she's not looking me in the eye. She's raging, she had some like emotional intensity moments before that. And I would say she kind of tended towards being an intense kid. But I just was like, yeah, that's kind of firstborn status, right? She's making her way in the world and showing us who's in charge. But this was different. This was, very quickly went from normal meltdowns to not normal meltdowns for an almost 8-year-old, raging, screaming. Her face was always red. Like, I noticed that her ears were flushed, her cheeks were flushed a lot. And just, it was like, she was in a world I could no longer get to. I don't know how else to explain it, but like, if you're like looking at your child and thinking, Alexis, are you in there? And you can't get a hold of them. That's what it was like, very within about a week. I would say it was not a slow onset for us. She rapidly changed within a week.
Yeah. For us. Yeah. It's so rare that we hear that. Cause I mean, we think that it's supposed to be the sudden onset, and there's people who don't work day in and day out with PANS pandas cases that look at that sudden onset definition, but so many people don't really have that sudden onset, or they can look back in time and see a sudden onset later. But you truly had like that, like, my kid was this way yesterday, my kid is this way today, and it is starkly different. Yeah. I'm curious, when you look back through your history, if there was any early signs or any challenges with like fighting off infections or having lots of infections or anything that you think might be connected, or if it really just like hit you hard and you had no way of possibly knowing.
I think it's a little bit of both. So I think Definitely, because we were kind of working through some sensory issues before that. So like she had some soft sensory things that we were paying attention to, like hyperactivity, bouncing all the time. Not she kind of just looked ungrounded, honestly. Like this kid can't really ground herself. My friends used to call her Tigger, not to her face, but like, yep, she was just a little bit like Tigger today, you know, bouncing all over the place. She had probably, I want to say, at least 15 food allergies by that point. So I was already looking into, like, okay, what's going on with the sensory stuff? Looking for treatments, looking for, like, what route should we go? We've eliminated all of these foods and seen some behavior changes, like, to the hyperactivity, but not, like, I was kind of already watching for autoimmune, but I had no real sense that even my own history, like, should have clued me in a little bit. I felt like not should have. I'm not judging myself, but now looking back, I'm like, I should have kind of put that together that maybe there were some risk factors that could have helped me to be more proactive, you know, at the time. And we got really, really lucky with our treatment for her. I mean, I found a doctor within a week of her being sick. And it truly was, in my opinion, divine appointment. I was at a vendor event I didn't want to be at for my business. I'm very introverted. I know it doesn't sound like that on a podcast, but you're not here in the room with me and I don't have to like exert a whole lot of energy. But I was at a vendor event and this guy came up to my table and introduced himself and as, you know, a pediatric specialist in the area that worked with kids, you know, from a functional medicine standpoint, and my jaw just like dropped to the floor. And I'm like, I literally called and made an appointment then and got her in. And he ran all of the tests and said, I have no doubt in my mind that this is pandas. Like, she is, even though we didn't have OCD, we didn't have tics, we didn't have what the classical definitions are. Everything else, you know, the emotional ability, the rage, the difficulty sleeping, the sensory issues that had just exploded, all of that. He's like, I have no doubt in my mind, and we need to treat her right away. So we got very lucky. I know that that is not the case for most people.
It sounds like you had both like overnight, not quite overnight, clear case of pandas, like also not
Not
super clear.
clear.
So it's like kind of a mix of both. I'm curious if I'm gonna like ask if you're willing to go to this level of vulnerability, and if not, totally okay. But you mentioned your own history and things that you might have needed to get a little bit of insight from. So, would you be willing to share what from your own history maybe could have tipped you off?
Oh yeah. And you know, I'm an open book because I think the more we hear people's stories, the more we can connect the dots for ourselves and actually get the help that we need, right? So I was diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder when I was 13. And had chronic strep my whole life. I mean, they took my tonsils out when I was 7, but I would easily, my mom said, you know, 4 to 5 times a year that I had a strep infection. And it's interesting because I didn't have a ton of memories of that time leading up to the diagnosis, actually, until this last year, where some stuff started coming up to the surface. And for me, it was a very slow onset of leading into obsessive compulsive thing like it was my daughter. But now I see my own history with, you know, recurrent strep infections, always having ear infections. I was a very classic like Nux kid, bloated belly, always having digestive issues. Like, and I'm Nux is my BFF remedy. So like, no surprise there. You look back at my childhood and it's like that probably would have solved some pretty big problems. But yeah, that was, you know, that was my history as a kid. And no, we didn't have the information that we have now about pans and pandas, but I personally have no doubt in my mind that I would have been diagnosed as pandas. I do remember my pediatrician saying, you know, there is this kind of weird disorder that's called pandas, but you know, she doesn't really fit because it was such a slow progression and they kind of just, you know, wipe off the whiteboard and call it good, slap some antidepressants on you and send you on your way, right? Which that was the treatment at the time. So that's a little bit about my history with that.
I think it's so wild that so many of us learn about our own health as our children go through this, and how many moms are like, whoa, all of a sudden some things from my childhood are starting to make sense.
Yes, absolutely.
Wild what we learned from them. So it doesn't sound like you had a lot of pushback, and obviously finding treatment and getting early on type treatment from her, right?
Yes. Yes. We got very lucky in terms of, you know, finding somebody that was supportive right off of the bat. We did, you know, now I'm looking back and wishing, because I was already in the homeopathy for Pans and Pandas group, I think right around that time. If I remember correctly, and I just hadn't wrapped my brain, and we'll probably talk about this, I had not wrapped my brain around how homeopathy could deal with something as complex as pandas. And so we went the functional medicine route. We were on a buttload of supplements, and it felt like 900 years just trying to take the stupid supplements every single morning, because you have a kid with sensory sensitivities, you have a kid with oppositional defiance that doesn't want to do what you're asking them to do, and that desperately needs what you're giving them. And so we went that route for about a year, and we're, you know, looking into different therapies, developmental stuff, neuropsych evaluations, all of the stuff in the periphery, just trying to make sure we were covering our bases. And I did find a homeopath that we started working with probably about 5 months after that point, somewhere around there, that claimed to be really good with kids with Pans and Pandas. And it ended up that that was not the case. And we saw, you know, a ton of aggravations and like zero progress. So it was kind of a mixed bag approach at the beginning. But yeah, I didn't have, thankfully, a ton of resistance from her doctor to be willing. I mean, he's like, I will try anything, you know, to get her better. I will do anything that you need me to do. And I think all of us need somebody in our corner that's saying, I will fight for your child with you, because it feels so incredibly overwhelming. At the beginning, and you don't know how long you're going to be on this ride, right? And so we need somebody that's saying, you know, however long it takes, we'll figure this out together. So I am, you know, profoundly grateful for that, even though we didn't end up sticking with that modality or route of treatment, for lack of a better word.
So I know that you shared that you have your own history and experience using homeopathy for more like acute things, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to me that being somebody who had experience using homeopathy and seeing that it was effective, I mean, it kind of makes sense that, you know, you are a conventionally and functionally trained nurse. So it kind of makes sense that you're like, a complex condition needs a complex answer. And maybe homeopathy is just too simple of an answer or feels too simple of an answer.
Totally.
So I'm curious.
Exactly it.
Oh, I'm curious, like, how you found homeopathy in the very first stage, like when you were using it for acute, and then also what made you finally be willing to take that leap to say, maybe complex for complex isn't actually what's going to work for my kid.
Yeah, totally. So my initial experience with homeopathy was actually postpartum with Alexis. So I had, you know, found a doctor. I was having, you know, some pretty significant postpartum anxiety, depression, insomnia. And he worked primarily with homeopathy, but it was tinctures and it was combinations. So it was like the, you know, the 12X potencies. It was not, you know, you do one remedy, you see how you feel. Worked wonderfully for me in that season, but that was what I understood about, you know, I didn't really even understand how it worked. I just knew that I felt better when I followed the protocol and did all of that. And then I think just in my desperation of, you're trying to find anything that is going to help your child, and it felt like we were moving at a snail's pace. And I'm like, okay, so I'm just going to find somebody that, you know, that's a homeopath that kind of knows about Pans and Pandas, because I'm in your Facebook group and I'm learning all the things that you're sharing. But I haven't figured out how to differentiate between experts. And I think this is important to talk about, because it's not you tooting your own horn to say, like, this is our specialty and this is what we're really, really good at. and be able to help differentiate that. So I didn't personally, and probably because I wasn't asking the right questions in all honesty, was just looking for anybody that could help me. And you know, found somebody that did seem somewhat knowledgeable on the subject, but probably looking back had really only treated one or two kids with PANS or PANDAS, which does not, it was not in our best interest at that time, to put it that way. Does that make sense? So yeah, I very much was like, I just hadn't wrapped my mind around how can one, like, and we've always done water dosing because she'd aggravated like crazy on dry dosing, and funny story, so do I. So, anyways, so I'm like, no wonder I never tolerated that. But we, yeah, we, I just couldn't wrap my mind around how this could work. And I also realized that the biggest mindset shift that I needed to do was to recognize that when we're treating acutes, we're treating symptoms mostly, most of the time. We're wanting, you know, we're addressing the presentation of the cough or the presentation of the fever or whatever. We're not addressing that really, really, really deep layer of susceptibility, which is what we had to go after to, you know, for her long-term healing. And so that was a huge, like, once I started hearing you say that more and more and more, I was like, oh, like, I get it now. This is why that approach was not working so well for us. And honestly, that was a much harder pill to swallow, because you realize that the journey could be much slower and much longer than you think you can endure. And I think that really was part of the bigger emotional experience of that too.
Yeah. I always say that I think that the unlearning that we have to do is as important as the learning that we have to do. And I would imagine even more so for you, giving your training and everything that you know already, that the unlearning was really large for you.
Oh yeah, it was huge. And honestly, it was, you know, we have kids come into the hospital, they have bacterial meningitis, you treat them with antibiotics, you send them home. And it's like, and we're used to, you know, you have a fever, you give them ibuprofen. And so, and I didn't even raise my own kids that way, but like, that's how our training is. We're trained to very quickly spot symptoms, come up with protocols, you know, follow the doctor's orders and send them home. And so to really flip that switch, especially when you, your family and your child are suffering in the process, like, there, I don't think there's any greater instinct that a parent has than to want to shut that off, right? And to want to heal this as quickly as possible. And so it really took me a while to not only understand the mechanisms of homeopathy and how that works and potencies and all that stuff, but the bigger picture of what is our real goal here? Because if we want to prevent her experiencing what I've experienced as an adult, then we have to go the longer route. It's worth it to go the longer route. Yeah. Even if it means enduring a little bit more, well, I don't think necessarily any more suffering than all the other PANS and PANDAS parents out there, but you're kind of in that headspace, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So you get started with resilience, and you have the first couple of weeks, even months. What did you think right when you guys first started? What was that experience like for you?
It was wild. I have all of my notes for my doctor still in my phone. And I like to look back at them because sometimes we get in little ruts, you know, with different symptoms, and it's good to look back. But the first thing that went away, or that didn't go away immediately, but that we saw improvement in, was rage, which was what I was hoping for. But I knew, because I've been paying very close attention to what Dr. Barr had been saying, like, the body's going to heal how the body heals. And so that big symptom that you're wanting to move may be the last symptom to change. So I'd already kind of come in with this expectation of, I don't care what progress we make, I just want to see some progress. So maybe that's, you know, sleeping through the night, or maybe that's, you know, a little bit less defiance, or whatever. I didn't expect to see our biggest, most troublesome symptom, which was rage, to decrease so significantly so soon. And so that I mean, I don't think there's any way to give a parent more hope than that, right? Than to see like, oh, I can breathe. Like, this is working. This is helping. And we're starting to kind of move that dial in the right direction.
Yeah. I'm curious what you found to be the most challenging, because like, as you were talking through like how you came to it and how you finally decided to start using homeopathy, I heard a whole lot of like emotional aspects and intellectual aspects and like that, like a lot of crossover. So I'm sure there were a lot of things that were challenging in both sides for you as you were working through. So tell us about what was challenging for you with homeopathy.
I think the biggest challenge for me was really just being patient. And realizing that I couldn't fix her faster, you know, and that is, I think it's very emotional as a parent to feel that way, right? Because that instinct is there to, we want our kids to thrive. We want them to be functioning well. We want them to be healthy. We don't want that everything that's happening with them to be so impacting our home environment. And yet it is. And so I really think for me, that was the hardest part, was just that constant grief cycle of like, okay, I'm seeing improvement and we're seeing progress, but we're still in this kind of really super crappy place at the same time. Because she got so sick so quickly and because we had gone some different routes, you know, there was some wasted time there. And so I don't feel shame about that, but I do know the impact of it, you know? And so I think for me, it was really just being patient with the process and not allowing myself to, in my own hypervigilance and my own desire for her to be better faster, to continually be looking for something different to fix this faster. You know, should we be doing IVIG? Should we be doing SSRI? Should we be doing XY, you know, insert new thing here? I knew that was the right next step for us was homeopathy. And so it was continually putting that anxious thought process on the shelf and just allowing it to be whatever pace it was. And I think every panda's parent can relate to that, because it's still hard at times, like to not go there.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that it's even harder by the fact that you are a conventionally and functionally trained nurse and potentially having, like, you may not have had pushback about pandas early on, but have you had any pushback about your choice to use homeopathy from your colleagues?
Oh, from my colleagues, you know, I've changed colleagues. So okay. I have newer colleagues now. But yes, I will say definitely. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. There's still just a lot of stigma around anything natural working for the body as effectively as anything in medicine. And the funny part about that is that just makes me chuckle now is that this was always first, though, and pharmaceuticals were always second, you know, and they're mirrored after so much of what happens in nature anyway. So to me, I'm just like, I don't care anymore. But yeah, there definitely was a time, and especially when I still worked at the hospital, when, you know, I would share an idea or like, you know, can we consider, you know, even something like IV vitamin C therapy, for a kid who really needed it for respiratory support. And it was just like, oh, that doesn't work, you know, and they'd balk at you. And what are you reading, those quack journals on homeopathy? And I'm like, well, actually, yes. but there was definitely at the beginning, and then I left that environment and am with a lot healthier, you know, more like-minded, I think, individuals with that. So it's not as much of, a process. I think we got more pushback from family to doing that than we did from my own like medical background, if that makes sense, because they didn't understand it. Yeah.
What about the rewarding stuff? What did you find most rewarding about homeopathy?
Oh gosh, I think, you know, I think we kind of hit a certain point, or I should say when we hit a certain point where symptoms were no longer creeping up again, like where it's just like, that's been gone for such a long time, I don't think it will ever come back. That was really rewarding, because it was like, okay, we just ran the craziest emotional marathon of our entire life, hands down. And this is why, like this moment right here, like when she tried out for volleyball and made it and is making it to practices and not, you know, it's like, this is such a far cry from the separation anxiety that she was having 2 years ago where she couldn't even leave the house. Like, you know what I'm saying? So those things, I think they make you appreciate what your child is capable of in a way that I don't know that I ever would have had she not had those challenges. So I definitely think for me, the reward is in the pushing through. And even for myself in my own homeopathic treatment, and we might talk about that, we might not, but seeing like I pushed through, I did not band-aid this. I did not take the easy way out, even though I would have liked to on many, many occasions. And finally, my body turned a corner and I'm seeing the payoff of that. You know, I think that really is where the reward is for sure.
I would absolutely love to talk about your own healing journey too, if you're willing to share, just because, you know, especially as somebody who would have been diagnosed with PANDAS, had you been, had people had a little bit more awareness about it. I'm guessing you're a bit younger than me, if they were even suggesting it, because I was too old for it to ever been suggested to me. So I would love to hear what you're willing to share about your own healing journey, because like we talk about so frequently, like it makes such an impact for kids. And in fact, the episode just before yours, we talked to somebody who even is a behavioral analyst and talked so much about how, like, the one thing that you can do, even if you're getting into the place where you're seeing behavior components for your kids, like it's clearly no longer inflammation, that dealing with your own trauma can make a difference for your kiddo too. So it just, it comes up in so many different formats that, you know, any opportunity we can have to talk about it is important.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. No, well, what's funny is that I think most PANS and PANDAS moms will relate to this. I didn't think I needed treatment until
You're
I think
it was fine. Really,
I've got this handled. I don't have intrusive thoughts or anxiety or PTSD from this at all. Like, I'm totally coping. So for me, I started, honestly, I can't remember why I started. I just had gotten my youngest started with resilience for some digestive things that we were working on. And then knew that I really needed to work on some gut stuff. Like my food allergies were kind of like getting out of control. And in spite of all the, you know, natural things that I could have been doing to address that, and some, a little bit of mood stuff in there, like a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of depression, which would make sense for the journey. But what I didn't expect was that it, like the symptoms that started going away that I had just stopped paying attention to, like, oh, I was having intrusive thoughts. I was having anxiety. I was having insomnia. I was having mood swings. I was XYZ, irritability, noise sensitivity, all of those things that I had just like, that's just me, right? That's just me, how I am. And then I did the intake and I was like, oh, maybe I do have some things I should work on. And so that was kind of the beginning of the journey. And then I got long COVID last year. Well, I got COVID that turned into long COVID and a whole bunch of other things, and had a pretty epic neuroimmune flare for myself, with intrusive thoughts and anxiety and sleep issues. And, you know, I'd gotten super anemic during that time too. So that made things a lot worse. But really it was, you know, it was homeopathy that I chose to stick with, because I knew, I'm like, this has helped me before. It's going to help me again. And definitely a longer journey than I would have hoped, you know, for myself. Like, I wish that it would have just been like snap my fingers and feel better. But I also knew that if I didn't address it, it would become something else later. That was kind of my thought process, is if I don't address the susceptibility to this, it will turn into something else later. And I don't want to keep having to circle this mountain. And so, you know, and I'm going to just move through this as much as, you know, as gracefully as I can. But I tell you what, man, this last year has given me so much more compassion for my daughter, even than I had before. I mean, I feel like I had a fair amount from my own experience, but this year especially, because I think it was just very fresh in my face issue that needed to be worked on. So there's a little bit of up and down in there. Like I started off just like, oh yeah, we're just gonna, you know, make sure mom is well, because you're always saying how the mom is the nervous system of the family and mine probably needs some work, and you know, just like a little bit.
I really appreciate how you shared that, like all these things that you just thought were part of you and just how you were things that started to get better.
Yeah.
And that it's almost like that was, it had become part of the water that you swim in. And so many people say similar things to that, that they just don't even realize that they can have help with it. And it's just, they've learned to live with it and they don't even realize how much they were suffering until it goes away.
That's part of what I was saying earlier is the cool part is because we didn't even know we needed to heal until our kids got sick. And then our kids' journey became our own healing journey, which I think is super cool.
Absolutely.
So I know that you, that Alexis has had some challenging symptoms that have kind of stuck around later on into the healing journey. I know we have so many families that deal with that where they're like, oh, we're doing better, but we've got these things and these things make me crazy and it's really hard to wait this out. Talk a little bit about that and what made you stick with it and not give up.
Yeah, that's a really good one. So I think I have a couple of thoughts on this, because we hit a pretty rough patch around 2 years in when I was like, we're going to be all better. Year two is the winning year, you know? And then we're like, you know, just kind of plummeted face down into, I don't even know what that was, honestly. Like, I think it was a combination of teeth, a lot of stupid teeth coming in. And I think we can all agree on the stupidity of teeth, because we know the suckage of that. And that led to school refusal and having to pull her from school because the separation anxiety was so intense. So we'd seen all of these other things heal, right? Rage, sleep, overall anxiety, separation, or sorry, food sensitivities, stuff like that. So then to kind of be hit with this kind of felt out of the blue new presentation of symptoms, it was very hard to wait out. But I still knew that, like, in general, we were seeing progress in all of these other areas, which made me think that eventually this ship has to turn. Like, you know, if the rudder is steered, like, eventually everything else has to catch up into alignment. And it was very hard. Because I, you know, at some points I felt crazy for believing, you know, that could this actually go away? Like, will she actually get better? And yet, you know, we just had to hang on. And so I think for me, it was knowing that once I could get out of that, like, fight or flight place in my brain, it was really knowing that there wasn't anything else that made sense to do. Like, I wanted so badly to do something different to fix it, right? And to get out of the rut and to not be experiencing these things. Cause like Jody said, it's awful. And you're just like, when is this going to change? But for me, it just came down to, it doesn't make sense to do anything different. So I kind of just have to hope that this will eventually shift just like everything else. And it was wild because it was a good like 6 month period of time. And then she hit this huge like leap in all of these things changing and healing kind of like on the heels of the other, if that makes sense. And so we do still have some sticky symptoms. You know, some, like, I would say irritability is one, noise sensitivity is another one. We kind of went through a rough patch in December. I guess we're still in December, but like November, December, just from viral exposure, honestly, that's the only thing I can think of, is just all of the exposure. And it's tough. I mean, it's triggering. And I think as a mom, I've just learned that, like, that is my cue to take care of myself. So I usually end up scheduling some therapy appointments. I usually end up making, you know, kind of clearing my schedule of some things that I don't have to do, that maybe I feel obligated to, but I try to clear as much space for myself, for my nervous system to kind of handle the extra load. Because I know it's just something that is triggering to see your child kind of hit these like little road bumps. So we do have some symptoms that are sticky, but I have some of those for myself too, that you know, that I'm like, okay, this eventually will move, but right now it's just kind of, we're just at a holding pace and I don't know when that's going to shift. So it is, you know, it's kind of this circle of how to take care of myself, how to meet myself where I am so that I can emotionally process this in a way, make sure that I'm, you know, meeting with my own homeopath so that I can address how I'm processing this, and not get stuck there or have that be an entrenched problem later on, as we usually do, you know, so many of us do as moms, we just kind of shove it down and hope for the best, but I've just learned that it doesn't work that way. So it's multi-pronged, but I think it's, you know, I think it's trying to keep that perspective, the long-term perspective, and knowing that we're doing everything that we should be doing and her body is doing everything it should be doing to heal. And that's just a place of acceptance that is hard to get to sometimes.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to call this out on every single mom guest host that we have, but I like literally every single one of your answers has gone back to you. And I feel like listening to you talk about y'all's journey, I feel like that there was even though it was still hard, there was almost a sense of ease in your mind because your mindset was in this place. And also you worked on your own healing and you were doing other things to help yourself through all of this. And it seems like there was more calmness about it, maybe. And it just like, I love that you keep going back to you because it's such an important, like mom is such an important part of this healing journey.
We are. And I think we don't realize, or maybe we don't want to realize how important we are in the process because I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think I feel so fragile sometimes in the journey of like, can I handle this? Can I really do this? You know, am I up for the job? Like, this is a big task that has been entrusted to us. And I think the reality is that it does feel intimidating and it does feel really scary. I'm glad that I sound somewhat calm and confident, but I don't think I've always, you know, there have been many, 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 many breakdowns along the way. And I think you have to allow yourself to have them.
Oh, yeah.
You have to allow, you know, it's kind of like you got to allow your nervous system to fall apart a little bit, that like restraint collapse almost, where we have to let everything out to know how to put ourselves back together again. And honestly, there are times where I do it really well and times where I don't. Like December was hard for me. And I'm like, it shouldn't have been, like, by all accounts, because she kind of worked her way through it. She had a really bad cough and missed school, but it wasn't separation anxiety. So like, I feel like my body now is taking the space that it needs to heal from all of the years where I couldn't give it the space because my hands were so full of just getting this child through. Yeah. Healness. Does that make sense? I don't know if that
it does. It does. And it's such a, like, I feel like it's such a transition when your kiddos get to feeling better. And then you have to like move into this space where you're figuring out your own post-traumatic responses to things when they don't really apply. And so for me, that was a really weird space, and learning that and helping homeopathy help me with that. Like that is a weird space in the learning and healing ourselves.
It is. It's weird. I don't like it. It's not my favorite, if I'm totally honest.
Agreed.
I totally thought, I'm like, oh, we're going to sail through this. I'm taking such good care of myself. And, you know, we're going to get to the end. And then, you know, whatever the end is. And then like, I'll just be fine. Right. And then I realized like how much I've been carrying, you know, how much I've been internalizing, and I've just let myself be there and seek the help that I need and process what I need to process. And it has been a lot of, you know, there's a lot of post-traumatic stuff that's come up, and it's not fun, but it is necessary. And I think if we can learn to be okay with that, you know, taking as much care of ourselves as we would one of our children that was struggling with that, you know, then it does create a little bit of ease. And I also think, you know, part of me having to go through obsessive compulsive disorder and conventional treatment, which was, you know, 2 hours a week of cognitive behavioral therapy and medication, and, you know, at a very pivotal time in my life, because I was only 13 at the time. I think that that did in some ways anchor me. Yes, it was triggering, but it also did anchor me, I think, a little bit, because I knew, like, it's like, oh, I've been here before. I know how to navigate her through this. I don't want to. And it's, you know, full of grief and all the emotions, but in a certain way, it's like not so unfamiliar to me that I'm scared of not making it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What I'm hearing a lot, like a theme that I don't know if both of you are hearing, is acceptance, like experience and acceptance coming together, where you have the experience that you're dealing with, or the experience that you've had in the past that you can then connect to, and acceptance of what is, acceptance of this might not be how I want it to be, but I'm going to allow this to go through me as it needs to. I'm going to accept that homeopathy, this feels like the right answer to me. And for other people, it might be that homeopathy is not the right answer, and that they are willing to accept the side effects and the long-term use of medications, or whatever, you know, are the pros and cons that you're weighing between like homeopathy and other approaches, or the fights that you had over the, you know, 900 years every morning of trying to get supplements into somebody.
Yeah.
So like everything about it is about like, what's the reality? What can I accept? And like, then working with that, and then just staying with what you said, like, this is just what it is, and this is what we have to do, and we're going to figure out how to get through it. And like, even when you have those hiccups, I hear you keep coming back to acceptance and allowing the experience that you're having.
Yeah. And it's a messy process. Like, I know I say that, like, it just is like, boom, acceptance. Right. But there are days where it is, you know, you just kind of have to let the emotions come as they are. So it's, you know, I think we had, just for example, when she had a cough in December and was like, Mom, she had a lot of fatigue afterwards and was like, I just can't make it to school today. My brain is like, oh no, school refusal, anxiety, blah, 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 you know, freaking out. And, even though everything in front of me is like, she's fine. Like she feels how I felt when I got sick, you know? So like, yeah, of course she wants to lay on the couch. She's tired. And so I did, you know, have to practice all of those tools of like being present with my body and saying, you know what, along with that acceptance, I have to give myself some compassion because this reminds me of something that was really scary and painful. And so, and my body's feeling that and living that. And so it's much easier to, and I have had many conversations with my homeopath about this, like, I wish my body could tolerate daily dosing because it would sure be nice if like on the days that I'm triggered, I could just bam, you know, take my remedy, but that's not how my body currently is responding to remedies. And so I've had to learn to sit in that space of discomfort, just as much as I did for her when she was, you know, in the really, really rough parts of it. And so I think acceptance is vital. Acceptance, if we allow ourselves to get there, also gives us room to receive the support that we need. If I'm not accepting that I'm struggling or that I'm having a really hard time with where she's at in her process or where our family's at in our process, I'm not going to reach out for help. I'm not going to allow comfort. I'm not going to, you know, seek out my faith like I normally would if I'm denying the fact that I'm even in need of it, you know? And so I think for me, that's, you know, some days it's easier to get there than others, but just kind of learning that acceptance doesn't mean you're surrendering to this being the inevitable thing, right? It's just surrendering to the process being what it is and taking as long as it takes. And then it becomes easier to kind of process the emotional stuff.
You're not accepting this forever. You're accepting that this is what it is right now. And this is the next best step, and that you can make that decision when you know what is going on right now. I have to say, Andrea, I talk so frequently, you've probably seen it in the group, about how often there are life lessons from homeopathy that like just really apply to so many different things. And it sounds like you're definitely getting a whole lot of life lessons from your experience in healing with
apparently homeopathy. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I wish I was one of those daily dosers. I so badly. And like my daughter, she's like clockwork, 2 drops in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. Good. For me, I'm like 3 days, 4 days. If I do it too soon, aggravation, you know, like I'm very sensitive, which is great. I am sensitive in a good way, but it's also, you know, it's
more challenging.
It's just learning how to be present. It's more challenging in other ways. And so that's not fun, but it's just the process. So
yeah. What about you guys, I know that have been through late regression. Can we talk a little bit about what it's been like working your way out of that?
Yeah. So she did have a regression. I want to say, gosh, I think it was 2 years ago. So about 2.5 years in, 2 years into the, or maybe it was 18 months. I don't know. It is all a blur. You know, our doctor has all the notes on it, but I'm like somewhere in there that like 18 to 2 year mark, 18 month to 2 year mark. Yeah, that was honestly, I think, harder for me in some ways than the initial diagnosis. And I think partly because I didn't know what I was in for with the initial diagnosis. I didn't know like how bad this was going to get before. So there was some like, you know, what is that? Ignorance is bliss, right? Kind of thing with it. Now the regression, I knew how bad it had been and I knew that she had gotten better. So then to hit this place that was pretty low, you know, felt almost worse to me than the initial diagnosis. And I think that's what made it harder. Because you have this taste of hope, right? You have this like, oh, we can get better. We can see improvement. And so all of those little tiny setbacks, even before a big regression, felt like you're feeling this like sharp pain, right? Or this sharp, like stark contrast to what you'd been experiencing before. And I do think this is common for a lot of the Pans and Pandas moms, at least that, you know, share in the group, is that when you get used to things sucking at a certain level, right? To put it, I don't know how else to explain it, but like, it's like, it sucks all the time. So like, it's not a whole lot different, right? We get used to the suckage and we just deal with it, but then it gets better. And all of a sudden you can kind of let your guard down a little bit. You can breathe a little bit easier and then suckage happens again. Right. And so it just, it's a hard thing to walk out. And I think, for me, it was, again, just allowing myself to process what that was like, as a mom to have to walk through that. And for the you know, everybody in the family is processing that differently too. So I think for me, the regression was almost harder than the initial diagnosis because of that.
Yeah.
I'm curious what life is like for you guys now that you've been healing with homeopathy.
Yeah. It's a lot better. We're able to enjoy, you know, we're able to enjoy so much more now than we were before. Like, you know, she goes to Winterhawks games with her dad, which is like a hockey thing. And, she's doing amazing in school, like just soaring through school. She is, she's thriving really in so many different ways. And I think now it's like that space for the rest of us to recover, you know, to like catch up to her healing, right? And so that's like Jody was saying, that's a weird place to be, because I'm recognizing a lot of PTSD symptoms in myself, and I'm fine sharing that because, you know, I think I didn't recognize, I wish that I had recognized it sooner, honestly, that that's what I was experiencing. Because it would have allowed me to reach out for help sooner. I mean, outside of homeopathy, but like counseling and get the appropriate treatments and all that stuff. So it is a weird space to be in, but I think it's also created, we just have so much more of an appreciation for health in our family and like normal family times. And like, we went out to dinner and no one freaked out. What is this? You know? You know, we could, you know, her sister could walk downstairs and nobody had a fit about how loud it was, you know, like you get to appreciate those, those moments so much more. So we're definitely not, I wouldn't say we're, you know, 100% healed yet, but we're definitely in a much better place. And even just seeing how her body's responding to immune triggers more appropriately. You know, we had, if we had been well enough, we would have had a fever party last year when we all got COVID, but we were too sick to have a fever party, but that was a big day. You know, I'm like, 102 fever. What? So things like that, that you take for granted, like a normal functioning immune system. Yeah. It's wild. So that's kind of the real where we're at right now.
Yeah. So I get almost emotional sometimes thinking about how much I wish today me could have a conversation with right when I first started homeopathy me. So I would love for you to share some of your nuggets of wisdom that hindsight has given you going through this whole journey.
Yeah. Well, you'll probably make me emotional too. So, oh gosh, I think I would say this is harder. This will be harder than you think you can handle. It's going to be harder than you think you can endure, but you can. It's going to take everything in you. It's going to be worth it. And I think reminding moms that you're made of tougher stuff than you even know, because I think we all have just that innate, you know, we would lay down our lives for our children, and realizing that that is a very real sacrifice. And, you know, a lot of us are have paid for that with the health of our bodies and our minds and our emotions. But I think, gosh, if I could say that, and also just be so much more kind and patient with yourself, because this is an impossible journey. You mm-hmm. cannot parent your children the way that you wish you could. You can't have relationships with other people, like support groups, that you wish that you could, in terms of having to parent your child differently, having to navigate school systems differently, having to navigate doctor's appointments differently. Everything that you have to do is like out of the box. And that in itself is exhausting. And so I think, yeah, just have so much more compassion for yourself and this journey looking completely different than what you ever thought life could, you know, could look like. But it doesn't end there. It's not the end of your story. And, you know, I think just hang in there. I know that sounds so cliche, but sometimes that is all you can do, is just hang in there and know that it's enough. You know, it's interesting, just to share a little bit of something Alexis said to me the other day. We were in the car by ourselves, which rarely happens. And she was asking me all these questions about like my childhood and life, and like really deep questions. And I asked her, I don't know why I asked her this, probably like my own insecurity, because I have a bank of memories of all the crappy parenting things I've done. Like, I don't know about the rest of you, but like,
absolutely,
it's in there. Yeah. Yep. And it just, sometimes it replays. So I'm like, Lex, do you ever wish that you had different, like, parents that handled things differently? I don't think I even said different parents, but like that we handled things differently. And she's like, she kind of thinks about it. I'm like, you can be honest. Like, I'm not going to be offended. And she's like, no, because I don't think anybody could understand me as well as you guys do. That would be as understanding of what I needed and how to help me, and that I could get better. And I was like, I didn't know that she had that level of awareness of her process, if that makes sense. And mm-hmm. so that's not to toot my own horn, because I have made some pretty great
away though. Come on, like
mistakes, mm-hmm. you know, but all that to say that what you have is enough as a mom. What you have for this journey, it will be enough, even when it doesn't, you know, because nine days out of 10, that doesn't make sense. 9 times out of 10, it's not going to feel like it. It's not going to feel like what you're bringing to the table is good enough, but it is, because you are what your children need. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the reality is that like part of the feeling like it's not enough is the hope or the desire to have control that we just don't have. And that's where it goes back into that acceptance of like, we're going to do what we can. And then we have to like, just let what's going to like how the body's going to respond to any treatment, you know. We have to let anything that we're doing, we have to make the next best decision and then sit and wait and see what happens. And we want to believe that we have so much more control than we have. And that's where truth. I think those 9 days come in, is wanting to believe that we have control that we don't have.
Oh man, teach me your ways, Dr. Barr, because I still have some learning to do in that one.
Well, I'm curious if you have any final thoughts you would offer to parents who might be starting out brand new or who are stuck in the suck, since you've had a couple of different times that you've been like breaking free, but then get pulled back into the suck. So what advice would you offer to people?
Yeah. Get as much support as you can as quickly as you can. There were just really briefly, I wish that I had advocated for us and for myself in our community, in our relationships, so much sooner. And in terms of letting go of any pride that I had of what people thought about me and my choices and whether or not I had to validate my own need for support. Like, I need somebody to come and pick up my youngest child so she doesn't have to hear the rage stuff. Mm-hmm. I need somebody to come make dinner because I can't tonight because I am in the middle of a 3-hour meltdown. Like, I wish that and I don't judge myself for it, but I do wish that I had been more vocal in the beginning. And part of that was just not, you know, you just keep thinking like, oh, next month's going to be better. And you think you can push through it. Yeah. And I think realizing that you absolutely cannot and should not have to do this alone. The second thing that I would say to that is, as soon as you can, get a provider who will listen to you. It doesn't matter if it's a homeopath or a medical doctor. Like, find somebody who will go to bat for you and be in your corner, because they can be the bridge to the other treatments that you need until you can get them, because we couldn't afford homeopathy right away. And that was part of the delay until we got to the point where we're like, I don't care how this needs to happen. It just needs to happen. And so finding a good provider who can listen to you can be the bridge to your next step, right? Which was the case for us eventually. And I honestly think that can make all the difference in the process, is just getting the support that you need, whether that's, again, counseling, different therapies, whatever you need to do, family relationships, and finding a doctor who will listen to you, and who will take you seriously and not brush you off and tell you that your child has a diagnosis they don't have. Thankfully, we didn't have that, but I know that's not the case for most people. So,
well, I can't thank you enough. I like when we said at the beginning, we love having moms and kids come on, but there's something special about having a mom by herself too. Because we get to go to places that we just can't go when our kids are with us. And we've definitely gotten some really fantastic insight. And like, you've been so vulnerable and shared so much of yourself with our listeners. I know that there's going to be a whole lot of people who will be able to look back and say, well, this is a turning point. This conversation with Andrew was a turning point for me and helped me see things a little bit differently. So I'm very grateful for your time and your willingness to come and share with our community.
It's my pleasure. And thank you for all that you do, training the doctors that you train and getting the word out, and just continuing to have that high level of excellence and care is huge. So I just can't thank you enough. Cannot thank you enough. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye, kids.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.